GBW Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a Civic Media radio station.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. More rain and rough river current lead to a temporary stop to searching for over 160 people missing a week after the Central Texas flooding. Local officials say the Guadalupe River could once again reach flood stage. ABC News forecaster Samara Theodore.
We have this, which was issued from the WPC, the Weather Prediction Center. They raised the level for significant flash flooding to a level 3 out of 4. So we're pretty high here. It is for areas that were impacted,
including flood devastated Kerrville. Evacuation orders remain in place in Arizona near the Grand Canyon due to explosive wildfires. Parts of the Grand Canyon remain closed to visitors. Lightning blame for at least one fire. President Trump signaling he's ready to support a bipartisan bill imposing more sanctions on countries that trade with Moscow over the war in Ukraine. The president also saying he struck a deal with NATO leaders to supply weapons to Ukraine, teasing a big announcement for tomorrow. This is ABC News. Waiting for results of a fire marshal's report nearly 2 weeks after deadly fireworks warehouse explosions in Yolo County, California, families who held a vigil for loved ones.
Because my niece and nephew are struggling with the concept that daddy's not coming home, and I want them to see that this is where daddy used to work.
CAL FIRE says what needs to be checked is whether the factory had the necessary licenses and permits. Some of the firefighters arriving in Texas to help look for flood victims are from the Czech Republic, including dogs. Diagnosed with prediabetes, according to a new CDC report, 1 in 3 teens in the U.S. ABC News medical correspondent Dr. Darian Sutton.
I think it's really important when you're talking about weight with teens that you emphasize on lifestyle changes and not diet trends. It can be very difficult during that period of life. And the recommendations for activity are a lot more than you would think. For teens and adolescents, it's recommended at least 60 minutes of physical activity a day.
Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
Do you hear that? Asthma triggers are everywhere, from dust mites, pet dander, and pollen, to smog and smoke. An asthma attack can strike anywhere, anytime. Be prepared with quick-acting Primatene Mist. Clinically proven to open airways quickly. It's the number one FDA-approved asthma inhaler available over-the-counter. Primatene Mist. Breathe easy again. Use as directed.
Hey, it's Amanda, and we all know that Northeast Wisconsin has some of the best events around, but trying to find them all can be tricky. So here at WGBW, we decided to do the work for you. Prevent boredom on any night by going to WGBW.fm and click events in the top right corner. You'll never have to spend forever scrolling to find out what's going on in your area. And if you got an event to share, hit us up by emailing info@WGBW.fm. We can work together to have real news and great conversation while giving you the 411 on what's happening in New Wisco.
As Wisconsin has summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For Civic Media News, I'm Shali Pittman. Wisconsin's agriculture industry could see both wins and losses under the new federal budget. Judith Ruiz Branch of the Wisconsin News Connection has more.
Climate change isn't a priority for the Trump administration, so the new budget redirects funds for farm conservation initiatives. Chuck Anderis with the Michael Fields Agriculture Institute says it lacks investments in key areas like technical assistance to help farmers implement conservation measures. Anderis predicts the gutted support and incentives that will go to large farms that need it the least will weaken conservation efforts and could have long-term implications.
And so you're having more runoff and more nitrates in the drinking water, but then you're also having birth defects in babies from the nitrates in the drinking water, and you're having huge medical costs beyond the devastating effects to human health from that.
Meanwhile, Wisconsin's new state budget does include some funding for programs that incentivize farmers to use conservation practices and reduce nitrogen pollution. And Dara says this kind of investment will help prevent flood damage, improve water quality, and make agriculture systems more resilient, all of which affect public health. As part of their agenda to curb government fraud and waste, the Trump administration has slashed staffing at agencies like the USDA's Natural Resources Conservation Service. The new budget proposes cutting nearly one-third of additional staff, and Dara says that agency provides critical technical assistance to farmers, and the lack of support will create barriers for farmers who rely on its guidance. He adds the new federal budget also redirects Biden-era conservation funds that hadn't yet been used away from practices that would reduce greenhouse gas emissions on farms. For Wisconsin News Connection, I'm Judith Ruiz Branch. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Areas of smoke drifting through the area today, so poor air quality in places. Mostly sunny skies, a southwest breeze with highs in the lower 80s. For tonight, smoke will continue to be found, mostly clear to partly cloudy, lows in the upper 60s. Right now, it's 76.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we go beyond the cheese with the Canine Convoy based in Oconto. We're talking Dog Bus. Join us.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Matt Nair on Air.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. City on rock and roll.
From the Civic Media studios in Green Bay, this is Lean Local with Jim Schmidt, a weekly program focusing on local issues, prominent local candidates, political experts, and community leaders, helping to build better communities. This is Lean Local. And now, here's your host, former Green Bay Mayor Jim Schmidt.
All right, welcome everyone to another episode of Lean Local, the show where we lean local and talk about things that are pertinent to our community here in Brown County. And boy, couldn't have a better guest than a guy finally got here today after doing this show for over a year. The top guy in the county, and I know you're going to say, oh, no, I'm not. Yeah, you are. The sheriff of Brown County, Todd DeLane. And the reason I say that, you can say, well, no, the county executive is. You're elected. You don't really report to him because you're your own guy. And as I said before we went on the air, you are really well-respected and liked. And that's pretty cool to be that well-respected, that well-liked with 260,000 people. And I just congrats to you on that. I think that says a lot about you.
Well, first of all, thank you for having me.
Yeah.
It's a pleasure to be here. And, you know, it's just an honor to be able to serve and serve the people of Brown County, a place where I grew up and where my heart is really at here in Brown County.
You can tell. You can tell. I mean, I've known you for a little while, and I've seen you in action. And even those swearing-in ceremonies when you bring in, we're going to get to that, you know, later. And I have some questions about that, you know, job opportunities. But, you know, yeah, you like your job.
I love my job.
You can tell.
Yeah. I have an incredible team of dedicated professionals that go out every day and do the very best they can in difficult situations. As you know, Jim, it's a challenge to be in law enforcement and work, you know, those odd hours and weekends and holidays and missing those birthdays and baseball games and stuff like that. But I have an awesome team, and they really care about our community, and that makes me proud.
Yeah, and just, I got some questions I want to talk about Brown County, but before I get to that, when I tried to get you on here last week and you couldn't be here because you were at the, was it the Badger Association for Sheriffs, you were elected president by the 72 counties. That says a lot, too. You know, when you're elected by your peers, and I did a couple things in the U.S. Conference of Mayors, and that's got to really make you feel good because those guys know what it is to be really good, and then they pick you. So congrats on that, too. I didn't know that. I got to be honest with you. I can't believe I missed that in the paper, but, yeah, that's
yeah, great. It is an honor to be selected by my peers to represent the 72 sheriffs in the state of Wisconsin as the president of the Wisconsin Badger State Sheriffs Association. Yeah. Last week, you're right, I couldn't be here. I was actually at the National Sheriffs Association conference representing the state of Wisconsin. And, you know, there with several other sheriffs to learn about issues that are impacting law enforcement and sheriff's offices throughout the country to kind of get a better feel for what different parts of the country are dealing with and, you know, what's the best way to handle things that come up. You know, we're fortunate that a lot of the problems originate in other places in the country. But after a while, some of those problems make their way here to Brown County and Green Bay area. And so it's always good to know what's going on and what approaches others are taking to resolve those issues.
Yeah, I would agree that the issues eventually find their way here. You know, we talk about that from a mayor standpoint, too. But I want to talk about the issues at the conference, not right now. I want to just talk about some things that are a little more I have on the list here. I talked about the kudos for being the president of the Wisconsin Sheriffs. And I also think you did a really good job with the draft. I think there are people worried about that. You were cool, calm, and collected. I talked to you a little bit about that. And do you have any issues with that draft? I mean, bringing 200,000 people in for one day? I mean, you know, the games are, what, 90,000 maybe, 88? So, yeah.
Well, it really is the partnership and collaboration that we have here in Brown County. So I have a wonderful team. But here in Brown County, we are really, really fortunate that we have so many great law enforcement agencies with the Green Bay Police Department, Schwaben on Public Safety.
There's a lot of municipalities in this county, though.
There are. And we're fortunate that we have some really, really good law enforcement agencies throughout the entire county. And it just so happened that the draft really, you know, was the focus of the Green Bay Police Department, the Brown County Sheriff's Office, the Schwaben on Public Safety, working in conjunction with the Wisconsin State Patrol, and then, you know, our federal partners, certainly, you know, Department of Homeland Security, the FBI, stuff like that. So it was a great event. A lot of planning went into it. I think anytime we're successful in things, it's because we've taken the time to be prepared. And going into it, you're right, I was calm. Because I should be, and I was confident because I could be, because we had prepared. Yeah. And we were ready for things. And thankfully, none of that stuff that we were prepared for, we didn't have to act on any of that. But we were ready for anything that could possibly happen. And we were just ready to have the event, have people have a wonderful time. And I think that planning made it a success for people to get in and out easily, to take in an event safely, and just have a great time for families here in Brown County. And that's really what it's all about, is having a good time.
Now, kudos to that. So I want to talk about Sheriff's Department. It's not a big police department, you know. It's different. So let's talk about law enforcement. You know, your leadership, but you oversee really the jail, court security. It's not the Green Bay Police Department bigger. You know what I mean? You have different responsibilities. Some evictions, warrants, right? I mean, how is it different than the police department?
You know, that's a great question, and this is an awesome opportunity for me to talk about the difference, because quite honestly, that's a question that I can ask on a regular basis. And a lot of people say, I don't really know what the difference is. So I'll take a quick second to kind of talk about the difference. So first and foremost, a Brown County sheriff is an elected official. So I represent all of the individuals within Brown County who put me into office. That's a little bit different in the fact that on police departments, they're hired and have a police and fire commission. And so it's a little bit different. Now, at the sheriff's office, we have all of the same duties as a police department. What I mean by that is we have a patrol division, we have an investigative division, and those are and those are the two primary divisions within any law enforcement agency. So we have those, but what really separates a sheriff's office, two things besides the fact that the sheriff is elected, and that is that we run the county jail, and we are the action arm for the circuit courts, and really the action arm for a circuit court judge. So when a circuit court judge gives an order or wants something done, they basically direct the sheriff to execute that for them. So that could be, you know, serving papers, like you said, whether that be a domestic violence paper or a forfeiture, you know, maybe a house going into a foreclosure where there's issues civilly related to that, anything like that, we are the action arm. And then the other big obvious one is running the county jail. So when a municipal officer, so if the Green Bay Police Department or De Pere Police Department or Schwabenland Public Safety, any local law enforcement agency makes an arrest, they bring that person to the Brown County Jail and turn that individual over to the sheriff. There are actually 71 county jails in the state of Wisconsin. There's one county out of the 72 that does not have a jail, and that's Menominee County. They have a tribal jail there, but the county itself contracts with Shawano County. So they have basically a holding
Florence
facility.
Florence has a jail?
They do. Very small, but Florence County, the smallest county in the state.
Sheriff's bedroom. Wow.
It is small. I think it's I think it's maybe like a 15-bed jail. It's extremely small, maybe 20.
I didn't know that. Okay.
But they have a small facility even in Florence County. And then it's our job at the sheriff's office to get that individual in front of the court commissioner or a judge and do whatever the judge wants from there.
So you were a sheriff's deputy before you became sheriff, or what were you before? I didn't know you until you were sheriff. I got to be honest with you. I want to ask you about changes in the sheriff's department. I mean,
sure.
We'll talk about technology later, but how has it changed? Because the jail is what, 25 years old?
Yeah. The new jail is 25 years old.
Right.
The downtown facility, which is still there, and is now serving as like basically holding cells for the courts during the day, Monday through Friday, while people are waiting for court. That actually was built in the 1960s.
That jail is yours or the city's?
No, that's mine. The city does not have any jail.
That's a Huber facility though, right? But that's still yours?
Yeah.
I think I knew that.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah,
All the jails are the sheriff's.
All of the jails are the sheriff's in the state of Wisconsin. So, it goes back to the, I guess, old historical days even, when a judge would remand you to the authority of the sheriff. So if you were found, guilty of stealing something like, you see on television where somebody stole a horse and, the old judge would say, I remand you to the authority of the sheriff.
You know, you're...
He goes back that long. But, yeah, the sheriffs run the jails, and we deliver individuals to the courts.
All right, so we're good with horses. What are the pressing issues now, though, Sheriff? We read about fentanyl, opioids. Is that still the thing? And... because we have some pressing issues, and I also want to talk a little bit about, when we come back, the issues from that conference too, because I got to believe, there's some big issues out there, and we are going to talk about immigration too. You got a lot on your plate, but it feels like things are good.
Yeah, we're fortunate. We, as you know, from your time in the mayor, we have a, drug task force here in Brown County.
Right.
That's works with the Green Bay Police Department, Schwamendam, DePere.
Yeah. I want to get into the whole drug thing when we come back, okay? All right, we're going to be right back. You're listening to Lean Local with Jim Schmidt with a very special guest, Sheriff Todd Delane. We'll be right back.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
It's always a beautiful experience coming out to the ballpark. Many fans prep in the parking lot amongst our legendary tailgaters. When you're ready for new windows and doors, prep for those at the Pella Experience Center in Brookfield. See, feel, open, close, and compare dozens of window and door options from different Pella lines side by side. And if you order by July 31st, get 0% interest for up to 5 years. On Blue Mountain Road or visit PellaWI.com today.
Looking for food, fun, and live music this summer? Head to Area 509 in Appleton with Caribbean Taste. Every Friday, enjoy a food truck rally from 5 to 8 p.m. with live music from 5:30 to 7:30. Enjoy the Triple S Market. Sip, shop, sing every Sunday from 1 p.m. to 5 p.m. With local artisans, open mic, guest food trucks, a full menu of incredible Caribbean taste food, charcuterie, mimosas, and more. It's all happening at 1025 North Badger Avenue. Come join the fun!
Hey Wisconsin, it's construction season and the Wisconsin DOT wants to help you safely navigate work zones in your area. Check 511WI.gov or download the free 511 app to see current road work, closures, detours, and camera views on your route. Wherever your travels take you, know before you go with 511WI.gov. That's 511WI.gov. And remember, know before you go. Always park the phone while driving. Sponsored by the Wisconsin DOT.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Stephanie Bloomingdale, president of the Wisconsin AFL-CIO. The Big Beautiful Bill is basically an all-out assault on working Americans.
No tax on tips. It's not as good as it sounds because a lot of tipped workers are not paying that higher level of taxes right. In the first place.
As the wealthiest among us dine at the feast of all feasts, don't be fooled by the table scraps.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m.
Snakes, zombies, public speaking, the list of fears is endless. But the real danger is in your hand when you're behind the wheel. Distracted driving is what's really scary, and even deadly. Eyes forward, don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Everyone, the Lean Local. I'm your host, Jim Schmidt, with a very special guest, Sheriff Todd Delane. And before we get back to speaking of all the things the sheriff's working on, I want to thank one of our sponsors. As you know, they've been sponsoring us for quite some time, and that's Nicolet Bank. Just a great, great business here in Brown County, but you know, 57 branches throughout the state of Wisconsin, in Upper Michigan, and Minnesota, and what I love about Nicolet Bank, well, there's a lot of things I love about Nicolet Bank. They lent me money for my business and for my house. I paid them back. I'm good. They're so community-minded. And you know, Bob Atwell, Mike Daniels, when they started that in 2002, they made the commitment that, you know, we're going to build this bank, but we're going to build it with the community in mind. And boy, have they. They supported so many events here, the downtown events, the city deck, the new community shelter, and they not only give so much back to the community, but their employees, who are just great, great people. They serve on boards and commissions and really give back to the community with their, not only their treasures, but with their time and talent. And they're a great example for those of you who are running businesses. And we have a lot of good businesses here in Brown County, but take some notes from Nicolet Bank on how to run a not only a profitable business, but a business of philanthropy, too. And just want to thank them for sponsoring this show and everything else they do here in Green Bay. Aren't those guys awesome?
They are awesome.
They just are. So anyway, Sheriff, we were moving into the opiates and fentanyl here, some of the drugs, but I don't want to leave the jail just yet because I was thinking when we went to break, we have a jail that you said is 25 years old. And will we be, I don't know, adding on? You didn't like that term, but do we have a need for more jail space?
Yes. So what we're doing is we are replacing that downtown jail that I talked about with you that was built in the 1960s. Currently, it's downtown. It's only used for housing inmates during the day, Monday through Friday, for court. It's not a facility that's a place where you would want to be holding people long term. It's old. It's not good for, you know, programming and getting people better.
Is it a Huber facility where they go to work and come back?
So there is a Huber facility part of that, but our Huber facility where people were coming and going went away during COVID. Mm-hmm. And now we do everything by electronic monitor. So basically what a person, if a person's working, the judges will grant them the ability to be out on electronic monitor. And that works out really well because, you know, if you're out on Huber, yes, they're in at night, but, you know, generally they're gone for almost 10 hours a day. You figure an 8.5 hour workday, 8 hour workday, 30 minute break, that's 8.5. You have them to get out of a uniform, get into their clothes for work, drive to where they're going. That's, you know, like 45 minutes. So mm-hmm. It's 45 minutes to get to work, time they get dressed and everything, then work an 8.5 hour day, then the 45 minutes back. Basically, they're gone for 10 hours. And during that time, we don't really have a good idea what they're doing. You know, we could spot check it, stuff like that. Where with this electronic monitor and the bracelet, basically every minute of the day, we would know where they are. And if they're at work, we know they're at work. If they say they're at work and they're not at work, we'll know that as well.
Really?
Yeah.
And how many people are you monitoring?
So right now, on average, we float between 125 and 150 inmates that are on the electronic monitor program that are on work release and working in the community.
So who's monitoring? Is it like a screen, like a big bunch of screen, like TV things, a bunch of screens, or is it on your phone? I mean,
yeah, we have the ability to monitor it by, you know, computer. So you know, if you got a phone, we can monitor it really? That way. But we also, I have
Big Brother, huh?
Yeah. Wow. Well, you know, I mean, they're in my care and custody, and yeah. I want them to make sure that they're doing what they say they're doing. Yeah. So if they're supposed to be at work, well, then they better be at work. Yeah. And if they're not, then they shouldn't be. They should be at their place of residence or wherever we've designated them to be for that stay.
All right. So maybe I watch too much TV. You read about or hear about these things where they cut the bracelet off. Like, when do you know that?
Immediately.
Oh.
We have tamper-resistant stuff. So as soon as that thing is tampered with, we know immediately that it sends us an alarm. And so I have deputies assigned that do the spot checks on as well. Go to the businesses, check in for employment, make sure that they have employment before they go out, and a staff that monitors that. And then in those situations where if somebody cuts a bracelet off, we have deputies that are going to go out and find them and bring them back. And, you know, unfortunately, that does happen.
Yeah.
But these are, again, people, you know, people that the judges have already said, hey, they're going back out into the community. Mm-hmm. And we're just monitoring them.
Hey, with your jails that you have, how many people do we have in jail right now? Like, about?
Roughly about 700.
In the county jail?
Yes.
Do we have any escapes?
No.
Well, good for you, man. That's great. Okay. All right. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we are hitting the drugs. I want to talk about mental health. And then we, I got a few questions that I want to talk to you that, not the jail overcrowding. I want to talk about that. I want to talk about some careers for students in our community, because I think, man, if they turn out like you, that's a great gig. All right, we're going to be right back. Lean Local with Jim Schmidt.
From Hobart to Bay Settlement, 97.9 WGBW. Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. More rain and rough river current lead to a temporary stop to searching for over 160 people missing a week after the Central Texas flooding. Local officials say the Guadalupe River could once again reach flood stage. ABC News forecaster Samara Theodore.
We have this, which was issued from the WPC, the Weather Prediction Center. They raised the level for significant flash flooding to a level 3 out of 4. So we're pretty high here. It is for areas that were impacted,
including flood-devastated Kerrville. Evacuation orders remain in place in Arizona near the Grand Canyon due to explosive wildfires. Parts of the Grand Canyon remain closed to visitors. Lightning blamed for at least one fire. President Trump signaling he's ready to support a bipartisan bill imposing more sanctions on countries that trade with Moscow over the war in Ukraine. The president also saying he struck a deal with NATO leaders to supply weapons to Ukraine, teasing a big announcement for tomorrow. This is ABC News.
The Bucks lose to the Cavs. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NBA. The Bucks lost to the Cavaliers in summer league action in Las Vegas, 93-83. The Bucks now 1-1. They face the Clippers tonight. Baseball. The MLB draft gets underway tonight. The Brewers have the 20th pick overall in the first round. The Crew wrapping up their series with the Nationals before the All-Star break. Yesterday, Milwaukee down 5-3 in the ninth, came back to win thanks to Caleb Durbin driving in Andrew Monasterio from third for the winning run on FanDuel Wisconsin.
Finnegan deals, Durbin, base hit, and the Brewers win in walk-off style. What a comeback! 6-5, the final. 6 in a row for the Brew Crew.
Durbin says the key was Monasterio able to get to third base with the ball in play earlier that inning.
I told him that. I think that's the play of the game, him getting to third there, especially ball hit to the left side.
With Sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Mariska Hargitay has experienced an almost unprecedented run as an actor on the show Law & Order Special Victims Unit. And now she has a director's credit as well. She is the creative force behind a documentary about her late mother, Jane Mansfield, called My Mom Jane. The Hollywood Reporter is now saying the documentary will be eligible for the Oscars since it's been revealed that it had a short theatrical run at a North Hollywood movie theater last week. My Mom Jane is available to stream on HBO and is getting very good reviews. Sarah Jessica Parker feels she had to defend herself for not endorsing a political candidate publicly. The And Just Like That and Sex and the City star told Nicole Wallace on her podcast she didn't believe social media was the place for quick political conversations. To her credit, Parker says she's not going to go into an argument unless she is totally educated on an issue. Imagine that. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Areas of smoke drifting through the area today, so poor air quality in places. Mostly sunny skies, a southwest breeze with highs in the lower 80s. For tonight, smoke will continue to be found, mostly clear to partly cloudy, lows in the upper 60s. Right now, it's 76.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In a chaotic and somewhat discombobulating end to the process, Wisconsin lawmakers passed a state budget and Governor Tony Evers signed it into law at about 1:30 a.m. on July 3rd. What made this budget different from the others signed in this era of divided government is that Democratic votes were needed to pass the budget in the state Senate. Part of the reason that was made possible is because of new, fairer maps. Last November, Senate Democrats flipped 4 seats, shrinking the Republican majority to just an 18-15 margin. Now, candidates are already lining up to take this the rest of the way and flip the chamber. Democrat Jenna Jacobson, who currently serves in the Assembly, is now running for Senate, challenging Republican Howard Markline in the 17th District. If Democrats can flip that district and one more seat, they could control the state Senate for the first time in more than 15 years. That would be a big deal for state politics in Wisconsin.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. We'll be back from the Northern Wisconsin State Fair in the world headquarters of Madison, taking a look at the weekend headlines and looking ahead to our next road trip with Jane Matinair. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. City on rock and roll.
From the Civic Media studios in Green Bay, this is Lean Local with Jim Schmidt. A weekly program focusing on local issues, prominent local candidates, political experts, and community leaders, helping to build better communities. This is Lean Local. And now, here's your host, former Green Bay Mayor Jim Schmidt.
All right, welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Lean Local. We are talking with one of my favorites, Todd Delane, the sheriff of Brown County. And we've been talking about some things in the Brown County Sheriff's Department, that their responsibilities with the jail and some other things. But I want to get down to some more specifics in this part of the interview. Sheriff, I want to talk about the opiate fentanyl crisis. How you're handling that and some of the trends you're seeing.
Yeah, unfortunately, the opioid crisis has been very devastating to our community and every community throughout the country for a long period of time now. Obviously, the Brown County Drug Task Force has done a wonderful job of finding those individuals who are causing such destruction in our community and holding them accountable for those for their actions. So, you know, we continue on our end. It's the enforcement end of it, right? And then having contact with those people that may have addiction problems and steering them towards help. You know, from a law enforcement perspective, our focus is really on those that are distributing these drugs here in Brown County or throughout Northeast Wisconsin, because one of the things about we know about drugs is they don't know boundaries, right? It doesn't matter if you're in the city of Green Bay or city of De Pere, one of the villages, there are no boundaries in the drug world. And it could be outside of Brown County and anywhere in Northeast Wisconsin. And for that matter, you know, it just in the state of Wisconsin or other states. So, you know, that's a continuous battle that we're doing. And I think, you know, a secure border helps a lot of that flow of those dangerous drugs. So, you know, I think we're heading in the right direction in regards to, you know, battling the fentanyl crisis.
That's good to hear from you.
Thanks.
I mean, really, I mean, people in authority that are more knowledgeable, I always like, because if they say it's not, that makes me nervous. So I'm glad to hear you say that. I haven't talked to you about fentanyl in some time. So you think we're head in the right direction. I mean, everything takes time.
It does.
Okay.
People are certainly more aware, and that's a big part of it, right? Is being aware of the devastating impact of those dangerous drugs on our community.
So mental health, you know, is everybody, oh, it's mental health, which it is. Are you retraining officers? Are you hiring different people? Or what are we doing about mental health? Or do you think it's just?
Well, no, it's sadly, it's a real issue that, you know, everyone deals with throughout the country. And sadly, law enforcement has a lot of contact with those individuals because, you know, if when there's a problem, people pick up the phone and dial 911 or call your local law enforcement and we end up on the scene. So it is critically important. We do a lot of training on how to handle those having mental health crisis situations. And then, you know, at the sheriff's office, we're fortunate. We have two mental health clinicians that are assigned right to the sheriff's office that go out on calls with us. And then if we have a a person who we've identified as maybe struggling and in need of help, we can have our mental health clinicians reaching out to them on a regular basis, providing them with opportunities, resources, and options to assist them in dealing with their mental health situation and getting them on a road to recovery. So we have that, and certainly, you know, our people are trained in, you know, handling those type of situations, and then having, you know, mental health clinicians embedded to the sheriff's office to be able to address those ongoing things are really important.
So your department, 260,000 people, right? That you're kind of, I understand that the municipalities will take care of, you know, Hobart take care of their people. But I mean, at the end of the day, you're responsible for all of them. They all voted for you. Is there something that's more common, you know, 50% of this or 40%? What's the most common thing a sheriff's department responds to?
Well, I think probably every law enforcement agency, you know, throughout the area, their primary function is to just address those calls for service that can vary, you know, day to day, but certain things ring through, right? You know, so one of the most common things that every law enforcement agency has to deal with is traffic related issues, whether they're, you know, just crashes or, you know, speeding in my neighborhood, posing risks to children in the area or school zones or stuff like that. So probably the most common complaint that any law enforcement agency receives here in Brown County is related to traffic related issues. Now, I'm not saying that that's the most significant issue facing our community, but it's the most common frequent thing that we have to respond to are traffic related issues.
Yeah. And you could take some comfort in that. You know what I'm saying? Sure. In that, it's like, well, at least it's not shootings.
Yeah.
It's not robberies. It's not break-ins. I mean, those happen. Those happen all the time. But that's what I expected your answer to be. I mean, that's what it was in Green Bay. And I remember I was at the State of the City one time, and, you know, and it was by far. I had the numbers up on the board, and I said, look, I know you don't like that, but on the other hand, what if we'd flip one of these other things that are 2, 3, 4, 5? You know, I wouldn't be standing here. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you're right. You know, if our biggest concern is related to, you know, speeding, that's a good thing. You're not worried about, you know, somebody breaking into your house or going in your garage and stealing your things or, you know.
But we still got to. There's still a lot of that, but hey, all right, I want to move on. This is the big thing, and so much in you know, lean local, that's what we do. We take care of the local stuff, but, you know, this whole immigration and ICE collaboration, and, you know, you look at our community, right, Sheriff? Meatpacking, farms, and then we have, you know, immigration enforcement, and so what's your approach, Sheriff, your current approach working with ICE, especially in relation to the agriculture and food processing industries? You know, that's got to be a tough balance, enforcing the law with and building trust against undocumented or immigrant communities who may fear deportation. Right. I mean, maybe I'm making some assumptions in that statement, but,
you know, it's a complex issue, but I don't know that it's really that complex on our level. So I'll kind of try to make it as simple as I can for our listeners today. So when it comes to immigration in the Brown County Sheriff's Office, as well as, you know, all local law enforcement agencies throughout the state of Wisconsin and throughout the country, as local law enforcement, our primary focus, the Brown County Sheriff's Office, is public safety. And that will always be our primary focus. And here in Brown County, I made it clear right from the very beginning, that's going to be our primary focus. And as it relates to immigration, there's two other important things to remember. And the second is, at the Brown County Sheriff's Office, we're going to continue to be a good law enforcement partner to all of our fellow law enforcement agencies, both locally, state, and federal agencies. So on the federal side, that means being a good partner with the FBI, the DEA, the U.S. Marshals, as well as DHS and ICE. And then, you know, as it relates to immigration, the third most important part of that is this, and that is immigration is a federal issue. And I think oftentimes people get confused about that, because what I don't think people understand is that a local law enforcement officer does not have some crystal ball or computer in their car or anything to actually determine whether or not a person is in this country legally. And in fact, even other federal agencies like the FBI, they have to contact DHS, ICE, to have them check the system to determine a person's status in this country. Because we know that there are numerous different ways a person could be in this country. It could be on a work visa, it could be on a student visa, a green card, and we could go on and on and on as to how a person's in the country. And then, obviously, there's issues with, did they overstay their visa and or passport and all of those other things. So there's not a way for a local law enforcement officer to just look at a computer or anything else to determine whether or not a person's in this country legally. Now, a person might, you know, tell us that they are, but we're not asking that information. So that's how it kind of, you know, our focus at the sheriff's office. Number one, public safety. Two, being a good partner. Number three, immigration's is a federal issue. So now, how does that apply to the real world, right? Mm-hmm. Because that's what we really want to know. So it's as simple as this. And you talked about that. If there are individuals in this community and they're going about their business and not committing crimes here, maybe working at the meatpacking plants, like you said, or on our dairy farms or whatever else, and they're just trying to raise their family and be good citizens. C number three, immigration is a federal issue. Now, if an individual is here in Brown County committing crimes, selling drugs, beating people up, sexually assaulting, raping people, I don't care if they're illegal or not. Yeah. I don't want them here. Nobody wants him in a Brown. Nobody wants him here. So if an individual ends up in the Brown County jail and they're foreign born, that information, I just like the media and everyone else gets the list every day of foreign born. They look, DHS gets that list. They look at it and then they make a determination as to whether or not they're going to take action on that individual. And I've talked to people on both sides of the aisle throughout Brown County, and I have yet to find one person in this community that wants to defend people that are out committing crimes. Nobody wants them here. And it's irrelevant if they're here in the country or legally or not. Nobody wants them here.
So the crime triggers the DHS.
For us here in Brown County, absolutely. You have to. So it is all done through the Brown County jail. We don't go out in the community.
Do you think people know that? Because I think – I don't want anybody living in fear. And what you're saying is like, look, that's number three.
It is number three.
Yeah, I get it now.
Yeah.
Thanks for sharing that. I mean,
we don't go through the community.
Oh, no.
Yeah. We're not in the community doing that stuff. If you don't end up in the jail, nothing to worry about.
That was awesome. All right. Hey, we're going to be right back. A couple job opportunity questions and a couple more questions about your career path. We're going to be right back. You're listening to Lean Local with Jim Schmidt. Special guest, Sheriff Todd DeLane.
There was a time when barbecue was perfect. A strong, reliable flavor that could be counted on. But then big manufacturers decided that barbecue needed to be zesty or spicy or sweeter or whatever. If you miss the good old days of great tasting barbecue, we'd like to introduce you to Grandpa's Barbecue. Made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Buy yours online today at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. 5 years after the fake elector scheme to overturn the 2020 election, legal accountability is grinding along for some of the conspirators and those who wittingly or unwittingly supported them. But pardons may be in the wind, too. May 27th, a three-judge New York appellate court stripped Trump campaign attorney Kenneth Chesbrough, an alleged key organizer of the swing state fake elector scheme, of his license to practice law in New York. June 16th, the alleged mastermind of the fake elector scheme, John Eastman, was recommended for disbarment in California. He can still appeal the decision. Also June 16th, a civil jury found MyPillow CEO and election denier Mike Lindell liable for $2.3 million for defaming former Dominion Voting Systems executive Eric Coomer. Dominion itself has a claim pending against Lindell, right-leaning news outlets, and several other Trump-alleged conspirators and collaborators. The Michigan Advance reported July 5th that a hearing on whether the trial of 15 of 16 Michigan fake electors should go forward has been moved to September 9th. A trial in Arizona is scheduled for January 5th, 2026, for the alleged fake electors and Trump associates, including his former chief of staff, Mark Meadows. Mother Jones reported June 4th that President Donald Trump's pardon attorney was considering pardons for the accused fake electors. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Today's job market is full of demand for skilled trade workers. Electricians, welders, mechanics, these and other trades are the backbone of every community. They're also a huge part in making sure the Army National Guard is always fulfilling its mission of service to our country and communities. Soldiers train to keep the power flowing, engines running, and supplies moving. The skilled trades these soldiers perform are the same ones needed in today's civilian workforce. Army National Guard soldiers are on the fast track to learning skills that can set them up for success at home with companies looking to hire the best. With options from plumber to helicopter mechanic and everything in between, soldiers are able to select the trades that best fit their lives. Their resumes are being built through their paid training and part-time service. Find out how you too can learn a trade profession and serve your community and country by visiting NationalGuard.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Everyone to Lean Local. We are here with Todd DeLane, Sheriff Todd DeLane, the sheriff of Brown County. We took a little bit of a break. I can't believe you had to borrow a quarter from me because your meter was running. Highest elected guy in the county. Do you not have a, you not have a hang tag?
Yeah, I don't know.
Jeez. All right, whatever.
Hey, I don't want to be the guy who gets a ticket.
And you'll get them
for parking out down here in downtown Green Bay and letting the meter run out. No. I know how you get talking, and I didn't want to end up here that
all
long.
Right, all right, right. So you're good now. I'll talk fast. Thanks for explaining all that icing. I think that was something that people weren't clear on. Is there anything else that the public often misunderstands about the role of deputies? Or do you think they can understand?
No, I think that here in Northeast Wisconsin, we are absolutely blessed in the fact that our community understands the role of law enforcement. They respect what we do. They've always been supportive of us. Meaning when other parts of the country were going through a lot of stuff, here in Northeast Wisconsin, we were blessed because the people in Northeast Wisconsin have always been a strong supporter of our military and our law enforcement, first responders, and those that have made the decision to serve and understand they're just doing their duty. So I think here in Northeast Wisconsin, we are fortunate that people really understand our role and you know, support and respect what we do.
Yeah, I just think people in Northeast Wisconsin and you know, for sure here, when you hear that defund the police, they're like, what? Like, that's like, stop feeding the kids. I mean, it's like, what? You know what I mean? So I think you're right on that. And I totally agree with that. I think that was a good thing. I think we know what we're doing here. Hey, let's just talk a little bit about, so you've been sheriff for 6.5 years, 7 years?
About 6.5 years already.
And I don't know what your plans are for the future. I'm sure if you ran again, you'd get elected again. But do you have goals? Like, where do you see the sheriff's department in 5 years? I know it's kind of an interview question, but I'm going to ask it anyway.
Yeah, I think that we have to continue to build upon the great things that we're doing here in Brown County, and that's to maintain the public trust, being transparent in everything we do, and then continue to look at ways to improve what we do and adjust to the changes that, you know, occur in society. So, you know, over the next 5 years, certainly we'll see some changes. You're seeing it now here at downtown with the single point entrance at the courthouse,
right,
and stuff like that. So, you know, over the next 5 years, certainly we'll continue to adjust based upon what's going on and do what we have to do to keep our community safe.
And the other thing I wanted to just comment on is, you know, recruits, job opportunities. I was at one of your swearing-ins, which was just awesome. A friend of mine applied, actually wrote a letter for him, and I was so glad he was selected. Although he did get some other offers, too, I want to say that. So that speaks well of you. That, and I told him, I said, if Delane's there, take that job. What do you look for, and what kind of background? Because I think there's kids in, I don't know, maybe a senior in high school or thinking that's a very respected career and they're not going to starve. You know, I think they could make more money somewhere else. Right. But, you know, I think it's a good career. So what do you look for when you're hiring new deputies?
So really it's all about character. It is about finding somebody who has a desire to serve and gets that fulfillment in serving their community. You're right. You're not going to become a wealthy person being a public servant in law enforcement. And yes, you are going to work some afternoons and nights and weekends and holidays and miss some activities. But what we're really looking for is a person with good character, morals, who cares about people, is respectful to people. You don't have to be the straight A student. You know, we're not an organization where it's about, you know, how well you did in math or science or stuff like that. It is, can you communicate to people, relate to people, be genuine, respectful, and just caring about the people you serve.
I tell my students that president of the company is probably an A student. The guy who owns the company is a B student. You know?
Yeah. Right.
But yeah. Hey, we just got 2 minutes. We have another great sponsor, Sheriff, and I know you know those guys, Pella Windows and Doors. I just, you know, John Calowertz, Verhalen, that's another great company. There's a lot for the community. I know they've sponsored some things in your department. They sure do a lot for the city, the homeless shelter. And I kind of forgot to mention them in the beginning of the program. And again, they're like, look, we care about the local community. And these guys, I don't know kind of house you live in. My house, 115 years old. They come over with their, it just will show you different style windows, different style doors. You know, my house, different styles than people who have a house built in 1980 or 2000. So anyway, I just want to thank Pella Windows and Doors for what they do for our community. I think that's just a great company. Quickly, their phone number, 920-297-2107. Thank you, Pella. It's a website, PellaWI.com. Sheriff, thank you for being here. You are the best, and I mean that. I've always respected you, and this was a great conversation, and I'm sure our listeners enjoyed it as well. So keep up the good work, and I want to get you back here sometime.
Well, thank you for having me.
All right, this is awesome. All right, thank you for listening. Lean Local with Jim Schmidt.
This is 97.9 WGBW Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a Civic Media radio station.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. A week after torrential rain, roaring floodwaters killed over 100 people in central Texas. More rain is raising the same river, the Guadalupe, again near flood stage. Searches for the missing suspended. ABC News forecaster Samara Theodore.
Keep in mind, the grounds have been previously saturated from the copious amounts of rain that we saw last weekend. And so it doesn't take much to turn this into a dangerous situation.
Parts of the Grand Canyon in Arizona closed to visitors due to explosive wildfires nearby. President Trump facing criticism over a Justice Department memo which concluded there's no evidence that Jeffrey Epstein, the accused sex trafficker, kept a client list or was murdered. Former U.S. Attorney Chris Christie telling ABC's This Week.
There's no chance, in my opinion, that Pam Bondi made this decision on her own. No chance. She was instructed by the White House that we're not releasing this stuff. And that's why he's defending her.
This is ABC News.